People of the world, let's get together. Welcome to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. And as usual, we have some great guests for you today. And our goal, as always, is to clear away the hype and bring you truth and actionable intelligence to make your dogs healthier, your pets, your cats, birds, fish. We are here to give you straight talk and honest information about caring for companion animals. Simple as that. And that's what Clear Conscience is all about. So today we are thrilled to have a guest that we had previously, but we had some technical difficulties. So our feeling is let's try again if at first we don't succeed. And today I am welcoming back our esteemed guest, Martin Dealey, and he is the owner and founder of the FloridaDogTrainer.com website, as well as the actual Florida dog training operation down there in the Orlando area. Martin, welcome back.
Thank you, Anthony. And good to hear you nice and clearly this time.
I can hear you much better as well, and that's a testament to Don, our phenomenal engineer and producer. So, Martin, I just want to just tell everyone that we're really fortunate to have someone of your stature with us today, and the thing that I really love about what you do is that you are a dog trainer, but you really are a dog relationship manager is the way I see it. And you know, a lot of different approaches out there to training. And from what I've read on your website, I feel like you have a very, very positive approach to your training. And could you describe your training philosophy to us to give our listeners a sense of what you're all about, Martin?
I think the philosophy basically is to get to understand the dog and what makes them tick. They're all different. I mean, I train everything from the smallest Chihuahua to the biggest Great Dane. And although they're all dogs, they're all different, and they have all different needs with regard to what makes life happy for them and makes them want to behave in a way which we find acceptable. We can actually build into them by using things that they enjoy and things that they enjoy sharing with us. We can build good habits, which, is, let's face it, that's what training's all about. We want a dog to have good habits. And the relationship we build is an important one, I think, because, I don't know, we talk about loving dogs, but the relationship is the essential part of that as to how they fit within your life and how you fit within their lives and how you relate to each other. I have three dogs in the house, and they all relate to me in different ways, and our relationship, I suppose, is different. I love them all. I like them all. But I know that the relationship is founded on different things. And that's the important thing, I think, with training. You're always looking at what makes that dog tick, what helps the dog to do the good habits that you want, or how can you show them the good habits that you want, and how does the dog view life and view you? And, you know, Anthony, when I was with you last time, we were talking about a book I've just got, which is Leo, the Incredible and Amazing Dog Star. It's a true story about this dog that gets found and then adopted, and I write it as though I'm the dog. And it's quite amusing. It's quite a fascinating thing for me to do. I've written books before, but it's very difficult to think, how do you think the dog would think? And well, how he sees his owner, how he sees people as trainers, how he sees other dogs. So I wrote it from Leo's perspective and how he built up the relationships and how he viewed the relationships with different dogs that he lived with and different people that helped him, including the dog Whisperer.
Well, and the book, I've only had a chance to really take an initial look at it, and it was just fascinating as it really draws you into the dog's point of view and really his take on the world and personality, and I recommend it highly. And to make sure folks have no trouble finding the book, there's different ways to get the book. You can go to FloridaDogTrainer.com and order the book there directly. Is that correct, Martin?
Well, there is a link to Trafford.com, which is Trafford is the publishers. It's an e-book. It's a very economically priced, and Trafford, I've got the link there that you can go and have a little look at that or a little video that we did also as a kind of a promo for it where yes. I did the voiceover, and it's quite cute.
Well, I see that right on your website there, and that looks like an easy click-in.
Yeah, the link is there, Anthony.
Yes, so that's fantastic because I think people are going to really want to check the book out. So tell us a little bit about how Leo had to adjust to being part of a new family and the things that, in your perception, he had to contend with to adapt and some of the challenges of being a new dog in an existing pack of dogs. How does that all shape out for him?
This is the thing. He was found as a puppy, taken to the pound. The person that found him decided that they would go and adopt him because they felt sorry. He was a sweet little fella. So they brought him home. There was another older dog there who was basically in charge of the family, as you might say, and very laid back and quite easy to get on with. But then they decided that Leo might need a little friend, and so they go back to the pound and bring back another dog, which he knew at the time he didn't like when he met him in the pound. And it's how he views the other dog and the relationship and how they kind of interact with each other. And then as they develop, how they actually, one leads the other. You know, if humans don't take the lead with the dogs, then the dogs feel it's almost a natural thing. It's an important thing that they have to take the lead over the humans. And if there are other dogs in the family, one of those dogs will take the lead over the other dogs as well. And it's not always the same dog in different situations. You know, you sometimes find that a dog will take the lead when a stranger comes in. And then you find another dog will take the lead with regard to perhaps demanding food or digging in the garden, and then the others join in. So it varies. So if you as a human don't show that you're the leader over everything, then the relationship begins to take a difficult kind of path because nobody knows who's in charge.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
And welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. And we're here with our guest, Martin Dealey, the founder of Florida Dog Trainer and the writer of Leo, the Incredible and Amazing Dog Star, his latest book. And we were just talking about some of the interesting dynamics in dog behavior in a household when there are multiple dogs. And Martin, I thought a great point that you made is that, you know, sometimes I think when we watch on TV with the training type programs that tend to come on, it's all about who's the alpha dog and who's in charge. But you're saying that in many cases, dogs really will change roles depending on the circumstances. So could you kind of tell us how that can work a little bit, how one dog could be in charge one moment in a sense and another dog could be in charge at a different time?
Well, I always think let's look between the human and the dog, more than two dogs perhaps, because one of the things that I used to do was to train hunting dogs. I still do, and I've taken awards in trials and competitions and things of that nature. And you know, it's a lot of it is body language. We watch the dog, and all of a sudden you realize the dog knows more than you do. He's onto a scent, or he's onto a track of some nature. And you leave your dog to do it, and he shows you that he knows more than you. And at that stage, he becomes the leader. You're following him. And then there are other times where you say, no, hold on a minute. You're not quite right. You're not too sure. Let me help you. And then you take the leadership back. And I think, you know, sometimes it's like that in the home. Someone comes or is outside in your yard. The dog begins to bark. He's taken over. He says, I'm protecting the home. You go and say, thank you very much. Just be quiet. and you go and have a little look at yourself, and you take over the leadership there as well. And sometimes, you know, dogs even do that as well. They're not talking to each other as such. They're using body language. They're using energy. Yes, the noise is there. The sound is there. And the way the sound is given in the form of a bark or a whine or whatever it is, the dog will understand. And different dogs, you see, different dogs come in and take over according to what is happening. And it's quite fascinating, the relationship, as I say, between my three dogs and then myself and my wife. And it varies according to what we're doing, what's happening, where their minds are, whether we're training, whether we're playing. It is quite fascinating.
Well, I am also fascinated by that because, you know, we are a two-dog household as well, actually, with two cats, and the interaction among all the animals is a source of endless real enjoyment and fascination and trying to really understand them, but at the same time, to just get out of our human thought patterns and to try to really see how they relate to each other, I think is just a really terrific thing to do to get to know our dogs better.
For example, I'll take the dogs out. I'll take three of them out in the yard, or we'll start to go for a walk, something like that. My wife will go across maybe to see a horse, and they look at my wife, and then they ignore her, and they're with me. If my wife is out and taking them out, maybe I go out to go out on my motorcycle or car, or I just go out onto the grounds and so forth. They don't come running across to me. They say, no, she's the leader now, and I'm with her. And it's quite fascinating. I always think in the families that sometimes families create issues because maybe, and I'm going to put it very bluntly, jealousy. But they try to entice the dog away from other members of the family. And each member of the family can be a leader in their own right in certain situations with those dogs. And I always say to my clients, if you have got the leash, if you are in charge of this dog, if you've taken them out, no one else should interfere. They can't even help you by saying to the dog, now do what Tony tells you. You know, you can't do that kind of thing. It's always important that the dog realizes who they're with, which part of the pack they're in, and it all seems to come together.
Now, what is the most important thing that we can do to establish that sense of a leadership with our dogs, but without being heavy-handed? I think that sometimes it's hard to achieve that balance. And as an expert in this field, I was wondering if you could give us some advice as to how to just strike that balance between having, I guess, what we call authority over our dogs, because we need that at times, and also having that loving and respectful relationship that we all want.
Clarity. But first of all, I don't even think of leadership, I will admit. Leadership is a new thing that's come through, and I use it. I use the word now and again. To me, it's a partnership. My relationship with my dog is a partnership. Sometimes I'm the senior partner, which is most of the time, and other times he's senior partner. And we know what our job is. When I start with a puppy, I like to get clarity, understanding what the limits are, what the boundaries are, what he can do, what he shouldn't do. And I put them in a position where they can do the right thing, so that becomes the habitual thing. You know, many times we put them in a situation where they go wrong, and then we're constantly correcting them. I'd rather put them in a position where they do right, so I can be constantly saying, well, that was nice, thank you very much. And he smells that I'm happy. He sees my face. He sees my smile. He senses that I'm happy. And in that happy situation, he wants to follow more and wants to be with me. So to me, it's always clarity and putting yourself in a position to do right. And do you know one of the most useful things when you've got puppies in the house to help them go right is to put a leash on them in the house and just show them for a few days, a few weeks, whatever it is, what is the right thing to do, what they can do and what they can't do. And you don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be tough. You just have to follow through gently and show them what's expected. And you know what?
Well, that's it.
It's just being comfortable that they enjoy and follow, and they like to know where they stand. Dogs often come in here, and they breathe a sigh of relief, and they say, oh, thank goodness, somebody's showing me what to do. This is great.
Yeah, you know, that is a great observation, because when you're talking about dogs who are having behavior problems, and let's face it, that's where a lot of the inquiries start. Unfortunately, a lot of folks don't establish a canine behavior program for their dogs until there is a behavior issue. Is that true in your observation as well?
I think so. I really do. I, you know, we get little dogs in here or puppy, should I say, 5-6 months. And what's the main thing that they're having problems? Usually won't come when called, so the owners have been encouraging them to go away from them all the time. Or they put them out in the yard by themselves, going back in the house, and the dogs become independent. They jump on other people. Well, as puppies, everybody encourages them to do so, and now they think it's the right thing to do. They pull on the leash. Well, dogs love pulling anyway, and they haven't shown them. They've gone for a walk and let the dog pull rather than go training and use a walk as part of it. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do to help our dogs all the way through.
Well, I think that having the insight that you offer in your books, and of course, those of who are fortunate enough to be in the Orlando area that can actually, you know, get your services in person, how wonderful is that? Now, do you do consulting, like training issues for dogs that you don't actually get to see? Because that's kind of controversial. I've heard that some trainers try to solve problems for folks, you know, remote.
Well, it is a problem.
And we are going to go to break in a second.
Sorry.
So how about this? How about when we come back? Oh, no being sorry necessary. I would love to, discuss that when we come back in a moment. And at the same time, you know, give us some specific tools for one or two behavior issues, such as jumping and running away, that maybe we could, you know, I know that nothing takes the place of a really good training program, but give us a couple of tips to help us in the right direction, and that would be wonderful for our listeners. And we'll see you back in a minute after our break.
Love for the human race, make it a better race.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. At Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
People of the world,
let's get...
And welcome back to the Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio program on the All Paul's Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are back with our wonderful guest, Martin Dealey, the founder of Florida Dog Trainer and the creator of FloridaDogTrainer.com, which is a great website. Please visit the site because it's just chock full of great information. And it's a great starting point for anyone who's interested in having a better managed relationship with their dogs and for behavior and training tips. And for those of you down there in greater Orlando, well, then you should just go and sign up and do some of the classes or private training with Martin, and I think you'll find it to be a remarkable transformation for your dog. So welcome back, Martin.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you, as always.
Well, now, when we're talking about issues that are the danger issues for a dog and things that behavior that can actually cause dogs harm if it's not corrected. And when I think of that, I think of running away as one of the chief ones. And a lot of us deal with that with our dogs. And it's embarrassing when you're trying to show that your dog is so well behaved and they get off the lead and they just take off on you. And I know it's a very, you know, there's a lot of steps involved in having a dog on an off lead behavior program, and certainly even how to behave when they're on lead. But is there a shortcut or at least a first step to getting dogs that tend to want to take off to want to stay put? And I hope that's not a silly question, but it's just near and dear to a lot of folks as one of their biggest problems with their dogs.
Yes, and it's not an easy one once the dog has learned how to run off. The thing is, you've got, there's two things when you think about it. One, it's got to be more enjoyable to be with you than to be away with you, from you. Mm-hmm. And you might say also, well, away from you, it's got to be more uncomfortable than being with you. I've trained dogs which I can handle and work up to 250, 300 yards away. And I want them to come back when I call them, even if there's birds, rabbits, whatever it is out there. And it all starts with, again, that relationship, one of respect and one of control, but one of understanding that pleasure comes from doing the things that I'm asking them to do. So, you know, one of the things that you find that people will do, they'll get upset with their puppy. It goes a little bit too far. They call it. It doesn't come. They call it. They go closer to it. They get louder and louder. And when the puppy does come, they give it a shake. Well, I wouldn't come back again either at that time. You know, the other thing is that many times dogs will run away because there's a distraction. There's a squirrel. There's a cat. There's a bicycle going down the road, something of that nature. And really what we need to do, not just be able to teach them, if you like, basic obedience, which is the foundation of everything, the sit, the come when I call you, the down when I ask you, the leave it, the main things of those, is that we train them, and then we don't introduce distractions in a systemized or gentle way, if you like. You know, we'll suddenly say, well, he seems to be okay about dogs, and we've got no problems when we pass them. We'll take him to the dog park. So they go to the dog park, let him off the leash, sit down on a chair, and all hell breaks loose. You know, their dog goes and either plays away with another dog, or another dog comes up and mugs them, or something of that nature. And really, we need to be ahead of this all the time and show that we are confident in our control of our dog so that our dog becomes confident in our partnership. And we are more important to stay with than actually go disappearing off. And now and again, we can say to the dog, go play, and off he goes. But at any time, I should be able to say, here, and that fella comes back to me. And that comes, I say, from a strong partnership and a strong respect. And starts the moment you get a puppy. People say to me, when do you start training a dog? And I say, the moment I get them. And if I have a litter, then I'm probably training them the moment they come out of the womb in some way. I do all kinds of silly little things with puppies from a very early stage, just so that we create that partnership. You know, there are a lot of tools that can help you. There are a lot of things that can help you. But at the end of the day, it's that relationship. It's that respect.
Martin,
bond. Sorry.
No. I apologize. It was hard to hear there. But how did you become a dog trainer? How young were you when you first started? When
I was 11 years old when I got my first dog. My first dog was a Cairns Cross Jack Russell. I had moved house, or my parents had moved house 200 miles. I had no friends. I was very downhearted, and my dad took me into a friend of his, and we went into a little shed at the back, and he said to me, which one do you want? And he pointed out these puppies.
Wow.
I picked a little dog called Kim, and Kim lived with me. I can't remember putting him on a leash. He would travel in a basket on my bicycle on the front, in my leather jacket when I got a motorcycle, and he taught me, I think, more than anything else. But when I was about 25, and I had dogs, pet dogs, a friend of mine took me shooting. And I thought, I like this. I didn't shoot much at all, but it was great fun because he had a crazy Springer Spaniel. So I got all the shooting gear, I got a Springer Spaniel, started to train the Spaniel, won a rosette, and I then was an expert. You win your first rosette, you know, your first little cup, and all of a sudden you think it all. And now 40 years later, I realize I don't know anything anymore. It's just, you know, there's so much to learn with dogs and so much to teach you.
Well, your passion and enthusiasm for your relationship with your animals and for your mission of helping others to have better relationships and you know, dogs that are safe and secure and happy, it's just infectious, and it's very obvious from talking to you that you're very sincere. So it's inspiring to speak to someone who's an expert and who's also a true dog person. You know, I have to say that I've had instances where I've interacted with trainers who seemed to be very much heavy on the authoritarian side and not to seem to display that loving and partnership aspect. And it's hard for me as a non-trainer, as a nutritionist, to, you know, to judge a trainer because, you know, people want results. And certainly in certain cases, especially with aggressive of dogs. You don't have a lot of room for namby-pambying.
No. Well, one of the reasons, as I say, this book was just one of those things that came about, was that I wanted children to get an idea of how a dog thought and how they could build that relationship and, you know, look at things from the dog's point of view. And it's a happy story with a happy ending. And people, friends of mine, who have read it to their children as bedtime stories are enthralled by it. It's just rather sweet, and it's completely different from my other two books, which are just pure technical dog training, you know. So I enjoy doing it, and I hope it helps people build a relationship because they get to know a little bit about how their dog thinks.
Well, I want to give the name of the book again because in case anyone didn't hear the earlier segments, it's Leo, The Incredible and Amazing Dog Star, and it's written from Leo's point of view as to how he had to adapt to living in a new family with dogs that already, you know, were there, and how he learned to fit in with the humans and the dogs in the family. And we're going to be reading it with my 9-year-old, and I am very, very excited to recommend it to our listeners. And Martin, we could go on and talk to you for for hours about all the great stuff that you do out there. And I just really believe that people would benefit tremendously from reading your book, from going to your website and learning a little bit more about your training method and your awesome history. And we want you to promise to come on with us again sometime. And I'd love to hook up something where we can get some questions from some listeners and answer some specifics. And at this time, I would say that there's just no better book that someone could read to just get a sense of what it's like to be a dog, and at the same time, how we as humans can relate to our dogs more effectively. So, Martin, thank you so much for being back with us, and I look forward to the next opportunity, and I thank you for all that you do for dogs and for the families and humans who share their lives with dogs. Thank you for being one of the good guys out there and for spending some time with us here at Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio.
It's my pleasure, and if owners have got a little problem, tell them to go to Canine Professionals, C-A-N-I-N-E, professionals.com. That's an organization I founded 14 years ago, and there are trainers all over the country, like myself, who would love to help.
That is a terrific final recommendation. CanineProfessionals.com, find a trainer in your area.
Find a trainer in your area.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Martin. See you next time.
My pleasure, and I look forward to it.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And we are extremely pleased to introduce our next guest, Kim Capes. And Kim is the founder of In Harmony with Nature. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Anthony. It's wonderful to be here today.
Well, I'm so appreciative that you were able to find time on your busy schedule taking care of all those amazing animals to speak with us for a while. So would you please just tell us what In Harmony with Nature is? Tell us about your organization and what you do, and we'll take it from there.
All righty. Well, In Harmony with Nature started about 2006, at the end of 2005. And I was actually working on the right name for our organization. And it was at the time when the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin died. And in an interview with Barbara Walters and Terry Irwin, Terry was walking the property of the Australia Zoo, and she said that what they strive to do there is to be in harmony with nature. And it just hit me like a lightning bolt that that's the name of the group. And I'm very connected to nature. I love the outdoors. I love to just be connected and see and learn new things about the outdoors and wildlife and the plants and the animals, all of it. And so helping the rescue animals that we were going to be helping, it just felt good to be called In Harmony with Nature. We use more natural remedies in solutions, in feeding, in our care. Obviously, when we have to, we use the Western medicine and other routes as well, but we do things very nature conscious. And so we've gone from the typical domestic dogs and cats to your semi-exotic animals, including wolves. We have some really large tortoises here as well that are always a thrill to see.
Well, what a neat blend. So you've got everything from domestic companion type animals to wild animals who have been found injured or need other types of assistance and wind up with you. Now your facility is near Orlando, Kim?
Yeah, that's kind of neat that we're a dual Orlando show today with Martin as your previous guest, and he's not too far away from where I'm at, and so yeah, we're both from Florida, both in the Orlando area.
So it's Orange County Day here on Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio.
It is.
Now, of course, when we first met, and it was connected through Clear Conscience Pet, my day job, we were just fascinated by the work that you're doing with wolves and wolf hybrid dogs. And that's an area that that frankly, as I'm sure you know better than anyone, creates fascination as well as controversy. And I would like to get your take as someone who really lives this every day, as to the issue of wolf hybrids and human ownership, or I don't like the word ownership, human stewardship or guardianship.
Yes.
Of wolves and wolf dogs. And how did you first wind up with a wolf sharing part of your life and time and space with you?
Well, it's a very interesting development on how things came about to getting into that realm. I was studying some dog behavior and wolf behavior in England and had come back to the States and started to help on different forums on the internet with behavior work. And an organization in Naples saw the work I was doing and some of the information I was helping with and asked me to come down and do a small talk to their volunteers. And that place was called Shy Wolf Sanctuary. So when I went down there and tried to help their volunteers with interacting with their wolves and their wolf dogs, I left saying, if you ever need any help in the Orlando area, just give me a call. And that was kind of the spark that set things rolling. Before you knew it, I was doing evaluations of animals that people needed to relinquish, and they were the wolf, what people call the wolf hybrid. And that term hybrid is actually an incorrect term. It is no longer considered a hybrid. It is actually a wolf dog. And that's based on the wolf and the dog being in the same species, both Canis lupus and Canis lupus familiaris. So the correct term is simply just a wolf dog. But most people know them as hybrids. And they do stem to the area of exotic when they have more of that wolf influence in them. And the way genetics and breeding goes, you're never sure what you're going to get when you start crossing these animals. Some good breeders out there have a good idea of what they're breeding, but then there's a lot of folks who think it's cool and they want to breed their German Shepherd with a wolf dog, and they're not really sure what they're going to get. And so you end up with an animal that has a ton more intellect, and their tenacity, their prey drive, their just ingenuity is compound it over most domestic dogs. And then they often wind up in a rescue situation. And when the local shelters wind up with these animals, there's not much option for them. They don't do well in a shelter setting. They often appear very fearful and almost act like that cornered dog. And so the shelters don't give them much of an opportunity. When you understand their behavior, you can actually help them out a lot more.
So very sadly then, I guess in cases where someone who doesn't have anywhere near the knowledge or preparation to be playing with these genetics could wind up creating or facilitating the creation of a dog, of a wolf dog that could wind up in a shelter, and the shelters just have no way of handling them. And that would be the saddest scenario, because the shelters would then perhaps put the animal down. And that's where I guess you've stepped in on many occasions, because I see on your website, and by the way, anyone listening, everyone listening, please go to IHWN. It stands for In Harmony with Nature.org. And all of this wonderful information is here, including pictures of the current wolf dog community that lives with Kim at In Harmony with Nature. So on occasions, then I'm assuming that you've been called by shelters and told that now that they know that you're capable of handling these magnificent animals, that you've been called to step in and save their lives.
That's correct. A lot of shelters throughout Florida have an automatic euthanasia policy or no adopt policy on a wolf dog. And so if they have a rescue that is a specialty for these animals, we can often get them out and get them safe. And most recently, you can see her on our website, we have a girl named Sadie. She came out of Orange County Animal Control, and the people who had her, she was an offspring of the parents that they had on the property. They never really worked with them, the animals, properly, and so they could never even touch her. She was that fearful of them, and they're the owners. So they end
up... She's this dark-haired yes. beauty? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, she's a black phase, yes. And she's got a good amount of content of wolf in her. So... in a county shelter, she did not do very well at all. And most of the time, the shelter staff, they're unprepared to work with wolf dogs, and they're very fearful of these animals. And that doesn't help the animals' situation either. So getting them out of there, they pick up on that right away. I mean, if you think dogs are feeling animals, the wolves have an even more intense feeling to the human, what the human is giving off. So you have to
I'm sorry, Kim. We just want to take a quick break. And yes. Of course, you're coming back.
Love for the human race, make it a better race.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
People of the world, let's get together.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio as we navigate the wonderful world of internet radio as well as our terrestrial radio partners out there. And we are with Kim Capes, the founder of In Harmony with Nature, which is a really wonderful combination of a refuge, of an educational center, and really a port of safety for animals who don't have any place else to turn. And that's what I just really love and admire about it, what Kim is doing. So welcome back, Kim. Now, Kim, can you tell us, in terms of the dogs that you have and the wolf dogs that you have, do some of them wind up being adopted back out to other homes, or are you pretty much keeping these guys for life?
Well, when we have a wolf dog that comes to us, we give it an evaluation time, and that could take sometimes a month or two until we can actually fully see what their personality is going to be like. And we actually have a pretty good list of adopted wolf dogs. And most of the adoptees range from lower content to middle content wolf dogs. And that just means that there's a lower amount of wolf and a greater amount of dog, or that they're close to a 50-50 split between wolf and dog. The higher wolf content you get, the harder it is to actually rehome them into a new setting. Now, there are folks out there who've had the experience and have currently high content animals, and maybe they lose a companion for one of those animals and they need another one. So they're not necessarily looking for what we would call a pet quality animal. They're looking for a companion for a higher content animal that they understand its needs, and it doesn't have to become very bonded to the human. It can just bond to the other animal and live out a quality of life in their own personal private setting. We actually have some lower and mid content animals that were house capable and get to share time on the floor, hopefully, of the living room watching TV with their family, and really do well with their owners. A few folks have come back and adopted a second animal from us, and so we do have a good success rate on our adoptions. Now, a pure wolf we can't adopt out because Florida is a permitted state, so you have to have a specific amount of requirements to be fulfilled in order to own a wolf or a high content animal.
That's understandable. I mean, for the animal's protection as much as anything, and for humans that would be in the area where the person would adopt the dog, it sounds like a reasonable protection to have in place. And again, with people with your knowledge and expertise is one thing. And
yeah, a lot of times we'll get inquiries that somebody who lives in an apartment is interested in one of our wolf dogs, and they have cats and chihuahuas, but you know, their heart is in it. And we kind of have to laugh a little because it's just not the right setting. But that's the same for regular domestic dog adoptions too. You know, some animals will be perfectly fine in that setting, and other animals just are not going to cut it, and it's not going to be a successful adoption. So it's always case by case.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, because you could adopt a Shih Tzu, and if you don't have the appropriate home setting for that particular wonderful little animal, it could be just as much of a difficult situation. Of course, a Shih Tzu is not, generally speaking, going to be able to rip somebody's throat out like a wolf could if they get in the wrong situation. But in all sincerity, it's about the right fit, and the fact is that, you know, when you're looking at a wolf dog, which I'm glad you're educating me on the terminology and how we really have to acknowledge the despite that, adding the word familiaris to the species name, that the genetic makeup of wolves and dogs, isn't it virtually identical?
Yeah, pretty much. There's like a 0.02% difference, and you know, the thing about the wolf is their brain size. So then it basically has an amped up dog, you know, when you're talking about the wolf. So that's why they can crush the bones of the prey that they eat a whole lot better. And our guys eat raw meat and they just go through it very quickly. And then the brain size being larger just gives you an actual challenge in and of itself in combating one thing that they learn because you made one slight mistake, and now they know how to get around that issue. And people say our dogs are slightly in a juvenile state to retain more of that puppy playfulness and be able to live and be cohesive in a home family environment with civilization. And it's basically these dogs really have retained their feeling ability to connect with humans, whereas the wolves are way more instinctual and don't really connect with the humans on that heart basis that our domestic companions do.
Well, that's very well put. And I'm going to jump in for a second and just tell folks that your incredible organization is an important point where you're trying to really solidify your mission and raise some funds so that you can make sure that you can keep that wonderful sanctuary open for, you know, for the foreseeable and long-term future. And I would encourage everyone hearing this, I don't care if it's $5, $10, $20, every bit counts, and the more people contribute, the more likely that Kim will be able to continue with her mission. So Kim is did not, you know, come on this program to solicit funds, but I want to do it on her behalf because I just think that what Kim and IHWN are doing is really just remarkable work, and it comes from such a place of love and caring and kindness. And I can't really convey it enough just in one conversation. You really need to read some of the stuff on Kim's website. It's just beautifully written. And that leads me to your books. So
yes,
in terms of the donations, just go to the website and there's a tab to donate. Is that correct?
There is. And there's a really great video that can give you a little bit better perspective on our place and make you feel like you're right here. And I appreciate that, Anthony. And we definitely want to continue our mission in a strong manner. And I wrote my book a few years back. It's called From Wags to Riches. And my subtitle was For the Secrets to Attracting Success in Life, Just Listen to Your Dog. And I just think that it's such a blast that these animals are really our teachers if we're so inclined to open up our awareness and look at what they're wanting to teach us. And it just... you know, they'll tell you to stop and smell the roses instead of having that hustle and bustle of a hectic day to just chill out and relax. And it's just the dog's life can really give us so much more if we're just willing to kind of let our egos down a little bit and know that the dog has something for us as well as we have something for them.
Well, that's again, beautifully put, and it's such a pleasure to hear that point of view, because I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than the, well, there are things worse, but the guilt that I feel if I'm working and my dogs want me to play, and you know, I really do need to just be able to put it down sometimes and go out and just be with them. But here, my whole career is around helping animals with nutrition and building the products that we've built, which you've been kind enough to share some on your social community with Facebook about, you know, the Clear Conscience products. And because we're into hardcore meat-based nutrition, you know, even our treats, there's no fluff. And if there was ever a wolf-friendly line of treats in animal nutritionals, I would humbly say that the Clear Conscience line fits that mold quite nicely. But
absolutely.
I am really eager to make sure that folks know that it's a really good investment of your heart and soul to just donate a little something to In Harmony with Nature and go and watch those videos. And now, how do we get your book? Is that available on Kindle and the other popular ebook reading services and such?
You know what? We've not actually put it onto an e-version yet. We have it on a hard copy, and I really do appreciate people and what they do help us with, even in the smallest ways. And so if anybody is interested, they could go to my website. It's you can go to ihwn.com. You'll find a tab for my book. Send me an email. It's my name. It's Kim Capes, K-A-P-E-S, @gmail.com. And I am so happy to send people a copy of my book that are listening today. I just need a couple bucks for the shipping, but I would love to give the listeners who are interested a free copy of my hardcover book, because I feel that giving back is important. So
that is incredibly generous. Please, anyone, again, who's hearing this, take advantage of that offer and get this beautiful book and just pay a few dollars for shipping. And I really encourage you at the same time to donate some money to the In Harmony with Nature Capital Fund so that these folks can buy the property that they're on and create a permanent trust to take care of these magnificent animals. And again, we're not just talking about the wolf dogs and hybrids. We're talking about we've got pigs, we've got birds, we've got cats. Now, do we have any big cats, cougars or
wild cats? No, I've stayed to the canine side of the large animals, and I've left the big cat side to some friends of mine who run those types of sanctuaries. But we do have your normal little pussy cats that live a happy life here with us as well.
Now, I can only imagine that it's that there's some exciting moments there at the In Harmony with Nature facility with the different animals that are interacting. And I think we're coming up on a break in a moment. But when we come back, I would love it if you would share a couple of stories of some some things that you've had to do to kind of create the harmonious environment and in harmony with nature, and having all these different animals on 2 to 3 acres of a facility, and how you manage kind of the interaction between the different species. So
wonderful.
If you could hang with us for one more break, we'll bring you back for our last segment for today, and share some fun stories and again remind our listeners of the ways to connect with you, Kim. So thank you so much, and we'll be back in a moment.
I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. At Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
People of the world, let's get together. Let's all make this world a better place.
Welcome back to Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio on the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. And we're back for a final segment with our wonderful guest, Kim Capes, the founder of In Harmony with Nature Animal Sanctuary in the greater Orlando, Florida area. And I'm going to read something. I usually don't read on the radio, but this is I'm going to take liberties with Kim's writing because it's a beautiful little passage here. Our journey in this world is a precious one, one to be enjoyed, shared, respected, and valued. Live each day with gratitude. Work toward a reverent awareness of everything that is around you. Allow the feeling of connection to be within you. Smile and have fun. Then you shall honor your creation into this life. Wow, what a beautifully written passage, Kim. You're quite a writer.
Oh, thank you very much. I like to do things from the heart. And that's kind of the only way I can go. And if I get out of my heart and into my head, I know I start tripping and making mistakes. And if I just get myself grounded again, whether I'm writing or speaking or working here with the animals, I stay in my heart and it all flows and works wonderfully. And the biggest thing, if people can just get about this physical existence and going through life and its ups and downs, is as much as possible, just have fun. And even if that having fun means 10 minutes of a nap, because that's what you want to do for that minute, few minutes, then do it. But do things that are enjoyable and the things that you love. And when you start opening your eyes and looking around a little bit more and opening your awareness up, it's just a blast at what you see, the little worlds inside of our big world. And we have some places around property. One area is called Dragonfly Alley. And we just have some of the most unique little dragonflies that hang out, and year after year, the same species are there, and they'll follow us around the property. And so it's kind of our little sidekicks are our dragonflies. And, you know, we have Snail Town USA, where if somebody's taking out a bin or a bucket and it has a little snail attached, we relocate it to a safe place there. And it's just all about everything has its place and belongs here. So let's kind of just give it some help if it needs it, and just enjoy the journey along the way. And that's what's kind of neat about In Harmony is people who come here realize it's not just a dog shelter. This place is a peaceful setting where folks really feel the connection to nature. And it's a blast when our kitty cats are sitting out on their screen catio room and the opposing wolf, high content wolf pen faces them, and it's kind of like wolf TV, and there's no concern between those two species with them being, you know, 15, 20 feet apart and in visual of each other. Now, obviously, we don't put a cat right into the pen or nearby, but within respect for those species, they cohabitate yeah. here very well. And our wolves and our wolf dogs who are in outdoor enclosures know some of our domestic dogs that get to run around the property at different times for play and turnout. And they know when a strange one comes by. And it's very peaceful around here unless there's somebody who doesn't belong in a certain area. And then everybody right. starts to howl and tell you, hey, something's going on, check it out. And even if a new person arrives, they'll set off their alarm, howl, and we know that it's someone who's new to the property. But if you're a seasoned vet coming here to volunteer, you just come on the property and everybody's like, hey, how are you? It's just very calm and peaceful. So it's kind of like having
it is in harmony. You've created a harmonious environment. It reminds me a bit of, you know, we're big fans of Temple Grandin, and when we started our company, we sought out to make sure that we were purchasing all of our ingredients from folks who followed the Temple Grandin principles of humane livestock husbandry. But I think yes. that what you just said is very interesting, because the way that an animal relates to any change in their environment is one of the key things of Dr. Grandin's philosophy of how to make animals more at ease and in peace in their environments. And she was just so good and is so good at identifying the things that set animals off and make them anxious. And it sounds to me like you've both intuitively and intellectually managed that in your facility by creating a balance between the different species and making them all feel comfortable among each other and protecting them from each other in the sense by keeping those that need to be, in a certain enclosure and that enclosure. But it sounds to me like they all kind of enjoy each other, even if it's from a few feet away at times. And that you've created something like this is just something that I am just, astounded by and really in awe of. So what you're doing to me, I mean, for me to compare you to Dr. Temple Grandin, I mean, that's pretty high praise. So
that's pretty cool. Absolutely. I appreciate that. And, it's interesting. It's hard to teach people awareness about those things when you're working around animals to actually see that what you're doing is causing them stress. And it takes an openness to changing your perspective. And sort of, everybody says, well, don't criticize until you walk in my shoes. Well, put their paws on too and walk in their paws, and then you'll get a different perspective on what life is like for them.
Oh, wow. Again, well said. And that's one of the most difficult things is, I think, in human relations and human/animal relationships is not sympathy, but empathy, and trying to really feel yes. what it would be like to be in their place. And how difficult is that? It is very difficult for us to feel what it would be like to be another species. But as something I said on the show a few weeks ago, and you know, Lord knows if anyone hears anything, but it was that it's great to talk to your dogs or your companion animals, but it's more important to listen to them. And I don't know if people really understood what I meant, but it's really being sensitive to the communication that they're giving out to us all the time. And, you know, you don't have to be like, you know, I've had some experiences and I've written about one of them where I've felt as if I had a very, you know, a deep and vibrant animal communication experience. But that was for me just sitting and laying and hearing and listening, not trying to chat away with my animals. The verbalization that we do, I think, is so highly overrated with our animals, and they probably don't mind the sound of our voices, but I think that they relate a lot more to our feelings than to our voices. Would you tend to agree?
Oh, 100%. I think that, you know, the animal kingdom is a feeling kingdom and not so much a thinking kingdom. And the human animal is sort of the thinking one. And we seem to forget that. And if we want to keep our connection strong, we got to get back into our feeling. And that's what the animals know and will give us once we start doing that.
Well, and it's remarkable. I mean, with, you know, again, the wolf dogs being, you know, a unique kind of window into that kind of bridge between the wild world and the domestic world. I think that that's that in and of itself is just highly revealing, because you're getting to kind of see both sides of that spectrum in one animal. And that's why I think that people are inherently fascinated by that, you know, by that combination. And it's good that we have someone like you out there who can educate us about, you know, the ups and downs and the cautions. And I would strongly encourage anyone who's considering getting involved with wolf dogs, sometimes known as wolf hybrids, please, please do a tremendous amount of research before you even go any further with it. It's not for amateurs, and I don't mean to be disparaging by saying that, but the dedication and effort that it takes for someone like Kim to do what she's doing is massive. So please don't just jump into something like this.
Absolutely. That is so correct.
Yeah, I'm sure you would agree with that.
I completely agree, yes.
So tell us, as we get kind of towards wrapping up for today, and again, we're thrilled to have you with us, a few things that you feel as if we could keep in mind when we're considering adopting a new animal. Because I think a lot of people... that is so, you know, these days, and it's a wonderful thing that more people than ever are acquiring, for lack of a better word, a new companion through the adoption process. And I think it's very, again, as so many things can be difficult for us as another species to relate to a canine. I think folks have trouble deciding how to choose, and you're so experienced in this area. I think if we could leave anyone with some good actionable advice about how to approach that approach to a shelter or a rescue organization, and what we should be looking for, and how to tailor a rescue adoption to our lifestyle. And I know that's kind of a tall order. I'm sorry, it's a big question, but I think it's one that people would love to hear your take on.
It's a very important question, and there are websites out there like Pet Finder and Pet Harbor that really help cater to finding the right animal. And so hundreds and thousands of rescue organizations post their animals with a short bio on the animal's personality. And the first thing people are going to do when they're looking for an animal is you go for the looks. It's kind of like a dating thing. You're kind of like, oh, well, that one looks good over there. And so once you get a look going that I like here's 10 dogs. I really like the look of these 10 dogs. Well, okay, great. But now let's get into their personality, their temperaments. What is the lifestyle of that animal going to need, and what can you offer? And if you do live a very busy lifestyle and getting a puppy, that might not be the best choice for you. Getting an animal that's a little more established and has a few years under their belt isn't going to be as needing as much energy expenditures. Then you have to look at your lifestyle and talk to the people who are currently housing those animals. The rescue groups know these animals. Take what they're saying and listen. If they know this animal is high energy and you need a low energy dog, even if you love the look, go to the next animal. And it's a matter of writing out sort of a pros and cons list. What you really need and would like from your animal and what you really can't have from your animal. And if you have allergies, you obviously can't have a long-haired cat or a long-haired, thick-coated dog that is going to be an allergen producer. So you need to look at the more hypoallergenic dogs or cats as well. And so putting together the list and sit down with the family and get everybody's wants and desires and what they would like from their dog or cat pet, or even if it's a rabbit or whatever, and check out the sites that help you with your adoption and finding the animals. And then visiting some of the local shelters that, and in the rescue community, we call them the kill shelters. You have the kill and you have the no-kill shelters. A sanctuary like mine is a no-kill shelter. We'll keep an animal here for life as long as we can give a quality of life. The government-run typical institutions, unfortunately, are presented with sometimes hundreds of dogs a day, and they do have to let some go, and it's a sad situation. But visit those shelters and spend some time with an animal in their little play yard to see if it's the right match. And understand that you've got about 2 weeks once you take that animal home until you start to see a real true behavior and nature from that animal. Because day one and two, it's all about confusion for them.
Well, that's great. Very, very important. Just that fact alone. Don't judge an animal, a dog or cat that you've just brought home from a shelter or from whatever circumstance on those first couple of days, because, they're kind of in shock in a sense, in a shock in terms of surroundings anyway. And
yep.
And we can't relate. They can't relate to their new environment that quickly. They have to get past their fear. They have to get comfortable. So don't make knee-jerk decisions, but make a really good decision on the way, on the way in, so to speak, and do that homework, and then give the animal a chance. And gosh, I mean, I can't imagine better advice than that. And it can be very dicey, in a home situation. If things don't happen right away, people get really panicky. And I think that if we could just be, I think in life in general and how we relate to our animals, our children, our spouses, our friends, and it's easier said than done. And I'm preaching
most
to
definitely.
Myself as much as to anyone else, is that patience is really the essential fabric of harmony. There you go. We're
right.
Back to harmony.
That's
again.
Right. And yes.
There can be no harmony without patience, can there?
That's absolutely true. And don't feel sorry for them because they've had a bad experience or background. They're with you now. So don't let that feeling of sadness overwhelm your start to the new life with them. Just be happy that they're with you. And they don't need to feel that kind of stuff. And don't expect much from them in the beginning.
The one thing that I have seen in my own 23 years involved with dogs, I've been blessed to have this as my career as a nutritionist and involvement in our industry, is that what you just said is so true, is that what dogs will feel towards us is going to be directly proportional to the comfort that they feel with us. And the most important thing, there's a lot of technical details, but if you have that attitude and that sense of acceptance and loving, and you give that off, it affects your smell, it affects your body language, it affects your dog's comfort zone, and remarkable things can happen. If the dog feels that you're relaxed and loving and kind, I think that it tremendously immediately changes the whole equation and will make that adaptation into your life. Because let's face it, you're asking an animal, they don't have a whole lot of choice in the matter, which is why we have to be so ethical and cautious, but you're asking them to join your life and to be a part of it. And people wonder why it doesn't happen overnight. We need to understand that. Think about if you got, captured by aliens and thrown into a new world, how would it be for you to adjust? And what I tell people all the time on the nutrition side is that if you were captured by aliens and you were given, hard chunks of something that resembled food every day and you could survive on it, well, you would eat it because you would want to survive. But when people tell us that their dogs are happy with what they're eating, I say, well, define happiness. If a dog's eating only dry, hard food all the time,
yes.
I'm sorry. In my opinion, as a nutritionist, that dog is not having their optimal happiness. So that's just a little plug, not just for our company, of course, but for all companies out there. And there are tons that have good species appropriate nutrition. Hydrate your food. Do not feed only dry food either. Hydrate your food with something like our super gravy, or feed a wet food or a combination diet. And then you're going to be treating your dog in the right way, a little bit more like a wolf or a wolf dog. And as we know, when we give our dogs the right input, not only spiritually, but nutritionally, the output and the companionship that we enjoy with them is just going to be exceptional. So I'm going to leave us today with a reminder that Kim has very generously offered to provide a free copy of her book to anyone who writes to her either through the website or on her personal email, which is Kim, K-I-M, Capes, K-A-P-E-S, at gmail.com. And just say that you'd love to have the book and make arrangements to pay for that shipping charge. But I encourage you at the same time to go to the donation link or do both at once. Contact Kim and say you'd like to donate, and she'll send you the book, and you can help the In Harmony with Nature people to continue with their mission. And all of this is available right at inharmonywithnature.org. Now, that's .org because they're a nonprofit, not .com. So please go to inharmonywithnature.org or IHWN.org, and you will be welcome to the world. Yes, it is the initials. I'm sorry. If you spell it out, you'll find them on Google. But if you want to get right to that website, IHWN will do it. And you'll really get a glimpse. You just take a look at these beautiful animals, and you'll see the real truth of the mission that Kim is on, which is that she is doing what I would consider to be the work of the universe, and doing it in a splendid manner. So, Kim, you've really graced us with your presence today. We really appreciate it, and I can't wait for the next opportunity to have you.
And my gratitude right back to you, Anthony, and anytime I'd be happy to help.
Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful day, and give all those wonderful animals down there a big hug for us, and we'll be sending you some more goodies, I promise.
Awesome. Big wolfy hugs to y'all.
And thank you all for joining us on Clear Conscience Pet Talk Radio today, and for enduring our little hiccups as we get better at what we do here. Thank you all for listening, and don't hesitate to write me at anthony@clearconsciencepet.com. Thank you, and goodbye.